Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Topics assortment of boundless entertainment, as they put it, carried through smart TV sets and devices, includes a horror folklore series set in New Orleans, Soul City. Creators and directors Cootie and Chike join me next from Baton Rouge. Whether you label the subject of our second half hour soap operas, daytime dramas, or continuing sagas, ABC has a two-hour treat in store Tuesday night. The story of soaps details how this genre impacted TV and our TV psyche. We'll explore both of that with executive producer Becca Gitlitz. Also ahead, the next Trek's voyage, we got the details, and our up segment follows another native diversity development. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Good to have you with us this Friday afternoon for the promo about television, third of 3 episodes we're doing this week. Wherever you are, we hope you're staying safe and staying great. Got some wonderful guests for you over the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, raise your voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Shy about using the phone? No problem with us. We got a chat room for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others with you by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. 81 degrees, beautiful day here in the Big Apple. And Cootie and Chike from Soul City on Topic join us from Baton Rouge after these news notes. A pair from CBS All Access this afternoon. First, an engage for another Star Trek series, Strange New World. This one will depict early voyages of the Starship Enterprise under Captain Christopher Pike's command. Remember Christopher Pike? He was the original Star Trek captain when Gene Roddenberry created the series, played by the late Jeffrey Hunter. Well, the series, this one, originated from a story arc on Season 2 of Star Trek Discovery, with Anson Mount as Pike, Rebecca Romijn as number one, and Ethan Peck as science officer, later Doctor, Spock. All 3 actors will play those roles again on this new Trek adventure. Second All Access is now running 68 Whiskey, the Afghanistan-based medic dramedy, launching this past January on the Paramount Network. Miramax, now co-owned by Viacom CBS and BN Media Group, has a new head of worldwide television. He's Mark Helbig, a former executive at NBC Universal International. Separately, Miramax signed former NBCU International Studios president Michael Edelstein to a first-look arrangement on future TV projects. Now some quickies. ABC gave American Idol a 4th season last hour. Host Ryan Seacrest and the season's judges are not involved yet. A special episode of Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet, dealing with work under coronavirus quarantine conditions and shot on iPhones, will premiere May 22nd on Apple TV+. And in less than 2 hours, NBC Sports Chicago's regional sports network in the Windy City will stage a Sweet Home special, raising funds for local pandemic outreach. And that is news notes for today. Topic has been around for quite some time, but this service, which some of you may not have known about, which is present on smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV, has been presenting television from all over the world. But they've also started to present original series made here in the U.S. of A. And the first one, which premiered last month, is Soul City. It's a horror anthology taking place in that great city known as New Orleans, the city by the bayou. But joining us live right now from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in an interradio exclusive, are the creators and directors of Soul City, and they go by the names of Cootie and Chike. Cootie and Chike, welcome in.
Chief, how's it going?
And I should say it's Cootie and Chike, so I want to just make sure I had that right. How are you both doing?
Doing well.
It said tomorrow would be televised, so I got makeup and everything. I'm thinking
And for all you listening in, you just have to use your imagination for that.
Right, exactly.
I love your voice, by the way, man.
I'll start with you. How did both of you come up with the idea of Soul City?
Well, I can tell you, it started with in Chike's head. Chike would often have dreams and Jacob with an idea to do a story about his dream, and one of the first stories that he did was that we did was Pillow Shot. And when he woke up with that idea, we just brainstormed, and next thing you know, we had opportunity to make it with Topic.
Mm-hmm. And GK, what about the folklore, the historical sidelights, if you will, of New Orleans? How did that inspire both of you to come up with the series?
I mean, I think just growing up in New Orleans, you see so much, and it's not really until I left New Orleans where I really garnered like an appreciation for everything that I just thought was normal until I left. That's when you realize, like, oh, wow, New Orleans is actually really special, and they don't do these things everywhere, and the customs aren't the same, and the traditions aren't the same everywhere. But then just being a storyteller and then and knowing so much about the traditions and customs of where you're from, you know, we were just eager to have the opportunity to start bringing the stories to the forefront. I think that's just been a passion for both of ours, is to be able to tell stories in depth about the prospective cities that we're from, Cootie being from Chicago, me being from New Orleans. You know, I always respected the fact of what Mark Wahlberg was able to do for his hometown. He always tells stories about his hometown, especially the forgotten stories. And for us and for me, especially being from New Orleans, it's really about those nuances of Black culture that I feel kind of get lost in the sauce. They don't really ever come to the forefront, and really being able to tell the stories, the same stories I've seen from, you know, sitting on my porch every day, being able to bring those to light, being able to show people there's so many different expressions of our culture, and it could be, there's so many beautiful expressions of our culture. A lot of times we just get pigeonholed through one narrative of quote unquote Blackness, and it's just, you know, any opportunity we can get to show the diverse aspects of the culture, especially New Orleans, which has a unique, you know, cultural, is a unique cultural epicenter in and of itself.
Yeah, and I feel like
guess
that,
what? I think we have our first call of the day, so let's take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hello, go ahead. You're on the air. All right, apparently not. We'll see if we can try to get that caller back ASAP. Cootie, once both of you decided to go forward with this program, how long did it take to get it on Topic?
Oh, man, we're talking years. Like I say, when Chica had the dream, that was in like 2007, and we put together a short story about Pillow Shop, and then, you know, we always – you know, it was so hard for us being first-time narrative scripted directors that it was hard for us to get projects. We was known as music video directors or documentary directors. So we were thinking about doing our own short film to, you know, to show that we can actually do this as well. We could be we storytellers. So so we talking like at least 7 years or, you know, us to meet, you know, God is so good for us to meet Audrey and Jess and them to, like, really believe in us as storytellers and pitch us a topic. So, you know, it takes time, man, but once it's done, you feel really good about it.
All right, before
yeah,
we go
Audrey,
further, try
Audrey,
against that caller
up.
That we tried to get on a few minutes ago. Let's see if we can do it this time. It's the second time as a charmer. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hello, go ahead. You're on the air. All right, apparently not. We'll keep on trying. Was it very easy, and Chica, aim this at you, was it very easy to put together the cast and the crew to get your vision off the ground?
Actually, yes. You know, there's been a wave of films that have come to New Orleans, especially at the time when the tax incentives were very appealing to Hollywood. So, you know, that was years back, and then those tax credits have changed. So the industry sort of left New Orleans, but it did because of the period of time where there was, you know, a lot of films that were being shot there. A lot of talent was able to get developed. And so there's a swath of very talented people that I feel are in New Orleans and that live there now. And so it was like you know, the casting director did a great job of just honing in on the local talent. It was a big, it was huge for us. That was like, and I think all the work that we do, we're one of those production companies or directors that really like to work with local talent if we're telling a film that's specifically about a local place. And I think a lot of times what happens with Hollywood is they'll go places and then their lead actors will all be from Hollywood, as opposed to like really combing the local territory and terrain and giving a local talent the chance to star so that they can build up their portfolio and have a chance to go out to Hollywood and get bigger roles. So we were definitely excited about what the local talent brought to the table. And it was just important because only local talent can really truly speak that voice of the city when you're doing something that's so specific to a city.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking Soul City. It's now in its second month on Topic. That's TOPIC, the General Entertainment Network from First Look Studios, that's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, specifically Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, other places as well. We've got the dynamic duo that makes that show happen from New Orleans, and they're known as Cootie and Chique. They're both live with us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. Elijah, with us wherever you are, catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, plus the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And if you have some questions or feedback for our guests, we'll make the call go, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll have another 3-episode week for you next week, and I'm happy to say that all 3 of our episodes next week will be 90 minutes, from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's new to 1:30 p.m. Pacific. And joining us on our first episode of the week on Monday, you'll hear the trio behind the new Fox series Labor of Love, about a 40-something woman who is trying to have it all in her life. We have executive producers Spike Vondreessen, Lori Girion, and Anne Wolfe will be with us. Then, you'll meet a very unusual host of a new travel series on PBS that got the series on the air and is still producing it despite the coronavirus pandemic. His name is Ernest White II. The show is called Fly Brother. It's now running on some PBS stations. He'll be with us also on Monday. And finally, from the popular Sundance TV series The Split, going into its second season next week, we'll have the award-winning writer and executive producer Abby Morgan. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow will be televised. Cootie, how did you and Chique fashion Soul City? Did you look at it? How did you want people to get the show in terms of the style of horror that you wanted to bring out, the flavor of New Orleans, and put it all together in a way that's entertaining?
I mean, we was inspired by like other series like Amazing Stories and Twilight Zone, which always has been you know, nostalgic and the genre of psycho the genre of what I'm trying to say, I'm sorry.
Like psychological thriller.
Psychological thriller. Thank you, Chique. You know, that has always been a something that we, you know, aspired to do, as well as, you know, tell real life stories, and Chique can answer more because he, you know, it was his idea in New Orleans. So,
yeah, I mean, I think what better place than New Orleans? You know, New Orleans is so mystical, and there's so much just from just the way New Orleans has been cultivated from its past. There's just a lot of ingrained sociological, I wouldn't say issues, but I'd just say sociological aspects. So it's easy to transition that into a psychological thriller. But, you know, it's not, we weren't trying to do slasher horror, stuff that'll make you think, stuff that will make you do a little bit of research, stuff that has deeper context than what it appears to be. And we look forward to being able to get deeper and dive deeper, hopefully next with longer episodes. I do feel like these episodes would have been best served at probably like a 30-minute block as opposed to a 15, 12-minute block.
Mm-hmm. Right. Many of your episodes, I think, are in like 15, 20, 21, 25-minute range. Chique, most anthology shows have a thread, usually in the form of a narrator. You mentioned Twilight Zone, Rod Serling. More recently, Jordan Peele. The Outer Limits had the control voice. Way Out had the great author Roald Dahl. Did you? Do either one of you serve as the narrator, or do you have like a local character serve as sort of our guide to what's going to happen?
not in the episode, but when we were developing it, you know, in theory, we would have loved for the cab driver, who Omar Dorsey plays, but he plays a character named Expedite. And so initially when we conceived it, and if we were able to get the chance to bring it to the life for like a full series or season, you know, our goal would be to have him actually be the narrator, sort of like serve you a through line as you keep visiting him back in his cab. But the thing that would have been cool about it is he'd be in his cab as a present-day cab driver, and he's sort of like engaging with these different fares that are getting into his ride. And each episode is him telling them a story.
Cootie, talk about some of the episodes, some of the stories that you brought to life, and how did you use New Orleans to really give it a lot of flavor?
Well, I mean, you know, Grace is one that I really love. That's another idea that Chike just was, you know, thinking about and actually put it to paper. And it was one of them stories that I felt was needed to show, you know, our culture and as far as like religion and all of that. So I just, you know, it was good. Chike, what you got to say?
Well, I mean, you know, it's, for me, I used to go to church with my grandmother. Oftentimes, she would go to a church around the corner. This is when I wasn't going to, like, the St. Louis Cathedral. And we didn't want to make it specific to any particular religion because although New Orleans is a heavy Catholic-based city, but we didn't want to look at it as one particular denomination. We're just kind of looking at aspects of religion in general as a whole and just aspects of generational aspects. Of the further we get away into more modern times, just the different approaches of how individuals react to religion. And, you know, it was just kind of exposing the concept of, like, you have this grandmother, or this nanan, rather, who's taking care of this child, and her relationship with religion, to her, she's doing all the right things to try to keep this child safe in the world. And the little girl, she's a generation of, you know, generations apart, her relationship is completely different. So it doesn't seem like that to her. It just seems like she's being abused as a child, you know, verbally or what have you. So we were just trying to showcase. And I can get way deeper, and I can tie it back to, you know, her being closer to slavery and the way religion is used within slavery. Those are the deeper conversations that we want these to actually engage on. But just to give you a surface response, that would be it.
Yeah, and I was learning. You got to realize, Simon, that I'm from Chicago, so I was learning the same way the audience is learning New Orleans culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, for both of you, you know, over the decades, New Orleans, the Big Easy, if you will, has played home to some terrific television series like True Blood on HBO, and there was the Big Easy for a couple seasons on USA Network way back when. Given that you were sort of the new creator directors on the block there, on their block, did New Orleans welcome you with open arms in terms of filming there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm from the city, so I'm from New Orleans. I grew up there. I know a lot of people there. And so, you know, it's not my first time shooting in New Orleans. So, you know, there was a lot of friends and family that were on set. So they embraced us. I think they were excited for us to be able to showcase and bring to life the sides of New Orleans that don't necessarily get exposed, more a truth of New Orleans that we all grew up living.
Cootie and Chike are the creators and directors of Soul City, the new horror anthology series playing on Topic. That's the television network running on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Show is now in its second month on that service. And both Cootie and Chike are with us live from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, not too far from New Orleans. This half hour on tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, where it's 81 degrees, top of the hour, warmest day so far in 2020. Happy to have you aboard. If you have a question or comment, our remaining minutes with our duo, give us a call, 646-652-2906. or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have another special edition of the show for you on Wednesday, as we did this past Wednesday, and we got some great people in store. For example, National Geographic is a new miniseries that's premiering around Memorial Day weekend. It's called Bark Skins. It's a very unusual slice of Canadian history. We will have the executive producer and the director, David Slade. And then the man that at one point headed CNBC, then later TiVo, he is back with a brand new venture that premiered earlier this week. It's called UMG TV. It's running on Apple TV. It's running on other smart TV devices. It's all about esports. And guess what? You were able to play along with some of the features interactively on that service. Tom Rogers will join us. He is the executive chairman of Engine Media, the company making UMG TV happen. He'll be on the program as well. And finally, we'll have an acclaimed documentary producer named Andrew Goldberg. And his latest work on PBS is coming out soon. It's called Viral, Antisemitism in 4 Mutations. He's the producer, the director, and writer, and he will be with us as well. That's all Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here, 90-minute edition for you. On Tomorrow will be televised. You know, one thing we've been talking about all week, gentlemen, on this program has been, when are we going to see TV production back because of the coronavirus pandemic? Louisiana, the state where you are in, was one of the big hotspot states early on in this pandemic, along with New York, New Jersey, and so on and so forth. Are you getting any sense as to when production can come back? And if so, how quick will you be able to resume production, let's say, do a second season of Soul City?
Man, I mean, you know, I can't tell, because it's just the information, it's coming so many different ways. So, you know, you don't know when we will actually open or not open. So it's hard to say, but I know it hasn't stopped us from being creative. Like, it hasn't stopped us from developing. So I know right now, and I could probably speak for a lot of creatives, like, we're developing content and creating content, developing ideas that aren't going to be limited to having to be outdoors. So we have stuff that we're developing now that can be executed right now without even having to step outside. And I think a lot of creatives are thinking that way. And I think the level of creativity, because, you know, this thing has created a perfect storm for a creative. It's like the perfect setting for a creative habitat, in a sense of, we're home and have hours upon hours to just develop the craziest ideas or come up with the most innovative ways to express these ideas. So I think through this time, you're actually going to see, when we are able to get back outside, I think, be creative again. I don't know, you're really going to see, like, I think, a creative renaissance of all the ideas and ways of innovative ways that a lot of directors and producers have been developing stuff at this time. So I think it's going to heighten sort of like the content that gets delivered coming out of this thing. And I think you're going to see stuff be executed more in silos now, too, because of it. Like, some people are realizing, oh, we don't have to actually be outside doing this as much as possible. And some of these things actually add to the narrative, or, you know, enhance the storytelling, because we're embracing other ways of creating, you know, content with constraints. Creatives usually thrive in constraining situations, I've realized.
Finally, what's the feedback from viewers and Topic to your series, and has Topic given you any thoughts about when you're able to come back for a second season?
They haven't said anything directly, but I hope that they're considering it because of the feedback. And the feedback that I've seen the most is that everybody loves the episodes, but they would love to see them longer. You know, they just, as soon as they get into them, they kind of get into the characters, it's sort of the endings are abrupt, and so which means that the conclusions aren't as strong as they could be because they abrupt so fast. And I think people are just really getting into the characters and would love to see these characters expressed over a longer period of so that they can maximize the potential of the build of the episodes. So I'm hoping that Topic is listening to that, and that they would be excited about giving the people what they're asking for. We would be excited about creating that.
Yep, and a review is also about how, you know, that we're really proud of is about the actors.
Absolutely.
How good these actors are doing. You know, even though we have some heavy hitters like Chad Coleman and Dorian McKenzie and Omar Dorsey and Tadashi, we have some hitters, but You know, I feel like when if a movie is bad, I blame it on the – if the actors are bad in a movie, I blame it on the directors all the time.
By the way, we should also point out there's a little thing called NCIS New Orleans with Scott Bakula that's also produced in the Big Easy. So we should point out, and of course,
yep.
I wish them everybody best in them getting back and running when the powers that be give the green light. The name of the show is Soul City. You can catch it now in its second month on Topic. That is the programming service with lots of good stuff, both scripted and unscripted. They call it Boundless Entertainment for their network. That's their logo or their slogan. And you can catch it on smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. For more details about the service online, go to www.topic.com. It's www.topic.com. Soul City from New Orleans, now in month number 2. Cootie, Chike, creators and directors of the series, thank you again for coming on. Congratulations on the early success you're having with the program. And all of us here in New York wish everybody down in Louisiana, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, the very, very best. We know you've gone through the ringer like we have here in New York, but I know that we're going to lick this pandemic, and hopefully TV production is coming back, and like you said, bigger and better than ever.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having us so much. It's been amazing. I love your voice, man. It's very nostalgic, and it's very refreshing, so it's dope.
Yeah. And if anybody want to follow our journey and see if we're going to do another Soul City, follow us on Instagram. Mine is at Cootie Rock, CoodieRock. And Chike is?
Yep, at Koza, COZAH.
I totally got it, both of you. Look forward to it on Instagram. Both of you take care. Thanks for coming aboard. All the greatest to both of you.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you so much, Simon. Great interview.
You got it. And thank you for the thoughts on The Voice, too. Cootie and Chike from Soul City joining us live from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. More tomorrow will be televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at audible.com. Did you ever see The Shining, the Stanley Kubrick movie with Jack Nicholson? You know, the Here's Johnny and Shelley Duvall and so forth. Well, if you've seen that or the other versions of that wonderful, interesting, amazing movie, which still gets a lot of controversy many, many decades later. Well, there is an audio version now of The Shining, and it's narrated by the terrific actor Campbell Scott, and you can get it as one of your 3 free audiobooks for Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. Guess what? It makes, in these pandemic times, a subscription to Audible.com a great gift for you or someone you love in your family or elsewhere. So check out audibletrial.com/televised. Get 3 free audiobooks and a 1-month trial, plus great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And by the way, two of those audiobooks are from the growing catalog, and it's fast-growing, too, of Audible Originals. That means original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and the best one-woman and one-man performances you can find and hear. So have today be the day that you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For that 3 1-month trial and 3 free audiobooks, it's audibletrial.com/televised. And now before we hit the bottom of the hour, it's time for Up as an Update, where we catch up on a guest or topic that we've had in this program. Back on May 1st, we brought you exclusively Ian Schroeder. He was the president and chief executive officer of the Barset Foundation. That's an organization that's really trying to break Native American talent into television, both as writers and producers. And they just started early this month a Native American screenwriter project. And by the way, we had one of the participants in that project on our show with Ian as well. Well, earlier this week, another development out to cause more programming produced by and featuring, both in front and behind the camera, Native American talent. The company is called Native Spectrum, and it was formed by 2 people. Sonny Skyhawk, he's an actor you may have seen in films like Young Guns 2, and also Jamie Gomez, who you may have also seen in Nash Bridges and other programs as well. And they are out to cause both new TV series and new movies. They're already working on 2 television pilots, one about the fast-growing Indian gaming industry, which, if you haven't heard, is over several billion dollars, actually. And the other is a mystery involving Native American and indigenous girls and women. We'll keep you posted about how they're doing, and we wish Sonny and Jamie the very best of luck. Again, the company is called Native Spectrum. They don't have a website yet. I understand Jamie is on LinkedIn. If you want to get in touch with them, and we'll see what happens. Coming up in the next half hour, well, we're going to end the week on a fun note, thanks to last night's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But first, let's find out about the world of soaps, the story of soaps. It's a brand new ABC special coming on Tuesday night. We've got the executive producer, Becca Gitlitz, joining me here in New York, and she'll join us after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Together, serving over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com is your home for the ongoing coronavirus news channel. Get the latest updates from all over the world, plus podcasts and original material, and your involvement as well. The coronavirus news channel, check it out, 24/7, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. We're going to pause for a few moments, and when we come back, Becca Goodlitz from ABC's new special, The Story of Soaps, will join us. Stand by, coming right back. And welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Outbound with you again live from New York. 81 beautiful degrees at the top of the hour. Right now we understand it is the most degrees so far in New York this year, 2020. We're happy to have you aboard. And if you have questions or comments for our next guest, make the phone ring your way, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Of all the art forms, of all the genres in television, maybe the most historic, maybe the most unique, maybe one that doesn't get enough attention as it ought to get, is the daytime drama, or the continuing saga, or as you probably have come to know it, the soap opera. And this Tuesday night, ABC, along with People Magazine, is doing a two-hour special about the topic. It's called The Story of Soaps. And joining me live right now in an inner radio exclusive is the executive producer of that special, Becca Gitlitz. Hello, Becca.
Hi, how are you, Simon?
Very, very fine, thank you. Becca, how did you get involved in putting this together?
This is the third installment of the Story of series. We've had a great partnership with ABC in the last couple years. The series started with the story of Diana, about Princess Diana and her parallel rise with the media industry. We then followed up with the story of royals to talk about the modern monarchy. And we were looking for something for this season to be a little bit more prevalent and a little bit more closer to our shores. And so we started thinking about what could sustain the time block and, you know, kept coming back to this story of television and this story of what we consume today. And we kept ending back up at soaps because, you know, the rich history of soaps was really fascinating to us, and it carries on really to what we consume today.
And rich is probably one of the great words to describe this genre, because it's been around since TV started. It has gone through so many permutations. It has brought us so many talents, both for TV and for film and other entertainment. For you, when you put this special together, what was the big thing you discovered about soap operas?
I think that, you know, they very often get a negative connotation as sort of a daytime serial. And I think that that is absolutely incorrect. You know, that soaps being pejorative should be a thing of the past, because, you know, they literally gave us roots for all of the television that we watch: reality, primetime drama, podcasts. You know, anything serialized really rooted in the storytelling that was born with soaps.
With that in mind, and with so much material you could deal with and so many directions you could take it, what was the game plan in terms of making sure that the different eras of daytime dramas, the 1950s and early 60s, when it was mostly 15-minute shows, and it was all live, and it was from New York, and then the 1960s, when you saw the introduction of videotape and the ability to do shows in advance, and unique, and then in the 70s with the beginning of unique storylines and sort of genre-type soap operas, and on and on and on to what we've got today.
We really wanted to showcase what has been changed and really what stayed the same. And really what stayed the same is storytelling, right? We have the arc of serialized drama, and we have these cliffhangers, you know, how to how to draw people back in. And that's what soap operas have been doing really well for this amount of years. You know, they have great character arc and they're able to really draw people in that way. And that's why they've been able to sustain for so long. We also really focused on the writers. You know, Erna Phillips was a pioneer of television, the way that Orson Welles was really a pioneer of film. And I stole that line from Abigail Duchovny, so I take no credit for it, who was a brilliant mind in our show. And we talked about how the writers have really been able to form this landscape to be something that's sustainable. And so rather than focus on each decade itself, we focused on what really has stayed concretely inherent to this genre and what has been stolen to create other ones.
Well, you mentioned Erma Phillips, and one of the things that immediately comes to mind is that this was one of the first television genres where women were both prevalent both in front of and behind the camera. Some of the very best soap operas early on and ultimately were done by women. Erma Phillips, Agnes Nixon, Doris Hersey with her husband Frank on General Hospital, for example, they created that show. And on and on and on. And you saw women who were able to produce shows as well as write them.
You're absolutely right, Simon. And this is what really drew me to the topic is, you know, it was the first industry for women by women. And of course, women were able to succeed because they were the ones that understood the plights of these women that were watching. And I think that's how they were able to connect with these viewers and be able to tackle these tough storylines because women trusted them, and they told stories. You know, there's this great line that Agnes liked to tell things not because they were extraordinary, but because they were ordinary. You know, she would take storylines that we were living in, you know, the Vietnam War and abortion and rape, and she would put them in her characters. And so it was an easily digestible way to be tackling prevalent social issues without it being on the news. And I think that that is instinctually something that women were able to do that perhaps men in these rating wars in the time might not have been able to do.
Mm-hmm. For you, what was the most interesting daytime drama that you focused on?
You know, we didn't focus specifically on one daytime drama. And for me, what I found most interesting was the amount of daytime dramas that were willing to tackle big social issues, especially at the time where, you know, people weren't talking about it. We focused a lot on Luke and Laura's wedding and not really on, you know, how great and big and amazing it was and how it rivaled Princess Diana and Prince Charles, but really on this relationship being built on a rape and how, you know, they really fixed that in the later years and how General Hospital really took a whole season 20 years later to talk about, you know, the things that they had done wrong with Luke and Laura. And it was an amazing evolution of a show. And I think that's what makes them so successful is that, you know, they're able to stay on these arcs for so long. And I really loved that, you know, they took risks and they had some of the first gay marriages and gay kisses on television. And, you know, they were talking about divorce and alcoholism and, you know, eating disorders long before primetime ever was.
And let's not forget also one of the great themes of a soap opera, the AIDS quilt.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the AIDS quilt episode was hugely groundbreaking. We show in our show, you know, the effect that the real world and reality television had on the world and how, you know, Pedro's storyline was a part of everybody's life in the 90s. You know, it was the first time that we had met someone with AIDS. But then when we look at Stone and Robin, you know, it was easier to digest AIDS on a daytime serial because these were already characters that we knew and loved. And that's how they were able to really shake the ground that people were walking on because they didn't know they were getting educated while they were. You know, all of a sudden, you know, Robin is the face of AIDS and she's not that scary at all.
We're speaking with Becca Glitlett. She is one of the executive producers of the new ABC primetime special, The Story of Soaps. It comes your way next Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local ABC station. And I'm sure that many of the ABC soap operas from past and present, including General Hospital, which is currently running daytimes in the afternoon on your local ABC station again, will certainly be a very big part of that promo, but also others on other networks too. Becca joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Albom with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Becca, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday, we have another 90-minute episode for you. Among our guests, we will have the creator executive producer of the brand-new Starz drama, Hightown. Her name is Rebecca Cutter. You'll meet her as one of our guests. Also on the program, we will have the head of a new network that launched a week or two ago dealing with spooky conspiracy things, including unidentified flying objects. It's called Unidentified, and we will have the head of that service. His name is Adam Rostoff. And finally, we'll give you a real big inside look at one of the ways that diversity is trying to happen in television. It's from the American Film Institute, and they have a program called the Writers' Ready Room. We will meet the overseer at AFI with the program. You'll meet Latoya Morgan from Into the Badlands on AMC, who is the mentor of one of the mentors of the program. She also has her own program at AMC Networks, raising new writers of talent to get new series off the ground there. And we'll also talk to one of the participants. That's all coming up next Friday, 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Something else also that soap operas were very big on was trying to showcase diversity before there was diversity. You saw it in some of the early soap operas in the 1960s. You saw it with Generations, which was a soap opera that had mostly African-American talent on both sides of the camera. How much does diversity get a play in your special?
A significant amount. We interviewed both Vivica A. Fox and Chandra Wilson, and they talked, as well as Mark Samuel, who's currently on General Hospital. But we talked a lot about how there was a shift from the way that African Americans were seen on screen, and that shift happened during Generations. You know, Generations and Passions significantly shifted the landscape, and I think that, you know, Vivica talks about being on those shows and seeing this evolution from, you know, being a maid to a leading lady. And that was something that was, you know, very prevalent in our show and really we felt was important, was the ability to take risks and, you know, have them really pay off.
Also, these soap operas provided some wonderful roles also. You got to remember Young and the Restless with Victoria Rowell, who is still with us, by the way, and the late Christoph St. John, became two soap opera daytime drama superstars. But also, something else that soap operas did was they gave opportunities for dancers who became stars, people like Victoria, who had come from the ballet world, Lisa Brown, who came from the Broadway musical theater world, other dancers and singers also had the opportunity, because they were based in New York or based in Los Angeles, to get their talents going. Even stand-up comedians. I remember Arlene Sorkin, on Days of Our Lives for many, many years, who would always come up with a crazy line. When she, at one point, I remember she was in a scene in a restaurant, and she goes, as she was like trying to talk and with the noise going on, would say to the waiter, "Shut up!" And it was like a very improvisational line, but you got a sense that she was using her stand-up talent to great effect.
I think that the, you know, soaps being based in New York, especially in the early days, was a really important thing, and they were able to draw in a lot of talent. And, you know, we spoke to John Hamm about when he was coming up, and he said he interviewed for numerous soap operas, and he never got a job. And so, you know, soaps were an unbelievable job for young actors and young dancers and young people in the arts, because they gave you stability, and they gave you huge amounts of publicity. You know, Alec Baldwin said that his time in the soaps was one of the best times in his life because the actors were so amazing. And, you know, that's what you see that's what you hear over and over and over again from these soap actors, is that, you know, primetime actors shoot one thing, one episode every 10 days. And these soap stars are putting together an episode every single day. You know, they're shooting a movie every single day. And so they are unbelievably talented in what they do.
Do you show that, by the way, the progression of in terms of time? Because when soap operas started in the 50s, it was 15 minutes, and it was live. You did the show, boom, you were done for the day, and then, or you would then rehearse, depending on what time the show ran, whether it was noon or 11:30 or 4 o'clock, you were blocking the next episode. Then the shows went to half an hour, most of them live. Mm-hmm. Then came videotape. Then came shows going to 45 minutes, and then the hours, which we now every soap, the four daytime dramas that are now on are all hours. They tape on location as well as in studios. They tape way ahead in advance, mm-hmm. and as you mentioned, but they do five. This is the only genre where you do 5-hour-long programs a week, and there's no rerun, and for the most part, no reruns. It's 52 weeks a year.
Yeah, we do show how, you know, from the radio days that soaps have progressed, but really what we do is take soaps and look at their roots and how it's progressed into the different television that we watch. And so if you look at our show, it's not completely based in what we refer to as serialized drama. You know, soaps exist in our prime time today, and they exist in our reality shows. They exist in our podcasts. They exist in many different things. And so rather than look at the evolution of the actual daytime serial, we looked at the evolution of soaps, and we looked at how different primetime genres really took what they did well and evolved them into the nighttime format. You know, if you look at Breaking Bad, it's soap plus Western, and that equals Breaking Bad. And so rather than spend all of our time looking at these traditional daytime serials, we looked at how they've evolved into and transmorphed into different forms of television that we consume.
Do you get into how daytime impacted primetime in terms of taking the soap opera style or tone into TV series like Dallas, Falcon Crest, Dynasty, The Colbys, Peyton Place back in the 60s, which ran at one point on ABC three times a week?
Absolutely, we do. I don't think that you can talk about soaps without talking about the amazing primetime soaps of the 80s. We definitely talk about Dallas and the Who Shot J.R. phenomenon, and really how these shows gave rise to a whole nother level of television that really set the stage for today. And what really made the difference between primetime soaps and daytime soaps was that everyone was watching them. You know, people didn't apologize for saying, they didn't have the negative connotation that daytime did. And so they were able to draw these astronomical numbers and really hook people in, which was unbelievable. And I just want to take myself back a little bit, Simon, and talk about the 5-day-a-week thing again. Something that we deeply get into is how soaps were never preempted. You know, you never missed your soaps. They were 5 times a week, every day of the year. You had Halloween with them, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, all these holidays. And we really discuss in detail the turn of the decline of soaps when the OJ trial came on. And it was the first time that soaps were preempted, and it was the first time that people lost their fix. It was also the first time that people really understood that, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction, and there was this huge appetite now for reality. And so we take a really deep dive into how the O.J. Simpson trial really changed the landscape of consumerism and television.
How many interviews did you and your producers do for this program?
About 40.
Any particular interviews that surprised you in any way, or that, this is really an interesting left field thought that I didn't think of when we started this?
One of our last interviews was a woman that I just quoted, Abigail Duchovnik, who wrote a book called The Survival of Soap Operas. And when I first read it, I thought that it was going to be about the decline. And what she really talked about was the substantial effect that soaps have had on culture, and how, you know, if you're talking about a passionate base and you're talking about, you know, women, the only place that we've seen this fanatical nature and passed down from generation to generation is through men and boys in sports, you know, and the only place that we see that with women truly is in soaps. And so, you know, it's passed down from generation to generation. It becomes a cultural part of your life, and people are fanatical about it. And I loved putting it in that context because it really gave the genre power and force. And I really respected that about her, that she could put it on this parallel path and say pretty boldly that these are the only places that you see this. So I thought that was pretty incredible that she talked about that.
I want to bring up two of my favorite daytime dramas that I consider mileposts of the field. One is The Edge of Night, which starred on CBS, then later was on ABC, because it was the first, you might say, genre soap opera. It was mystery-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
It zagged when other soap operas zigged. For example, if every other soap opera had a Christmas episode where everybody's like rallying around the Christmas tree and singing jingle bells, they would kill off a main character. And they did so on an ABC episode, by the way, and I watched it. It was Adam Drake, the character played many years by Donald May. Also, it was one of the first to have a mystery writer involved. Actually, it had two. Irving Bendick, who created the show, who did the radio version of Perry Mason, and a man named Henry Slezar that many people should know more about. One of the great short story writers, worked on Alfred Hitchcock Presents. One of his stories was adapted by Rod Serling for The Twilight Zone in the early 60s. He became also the first daytime drama writer to win an Emmy Award when the daytime Emmys came out. And the other is Dark Shadows, which was certainly probably the most unique soap opera ever done. It raised the standard in terms of acting, writing, and so on and so forth. Dan Curtis, what he did with that show, Jonathan Frater, all the actors, including an Oscar nominee and Grayson Hall, and, of course, the music score by Robert Covert, who passed away several months ago. I think it really changed the whole use of music on television, not to mention music on soap operas.
Yeah, I mean, music is a huge part of we unfortunately couldn't get into it because, you know, there's a lot of problems with licensing and whatnot, but music is a huge part of soaps, and it especially helps these cliffhangers, you know. And to go back to your Edge of Night point, I think that, you know, there are a lot, if you look at it now, right, if you look at the world of primetime drama and you're talking about soaps, right, you have all different kinds. Like, you could look at Mad Men, which is more of a period soap. You could look at Breaking Bad, which is more of a Western soap. You know, I think that they're not one-dimensional, the genre, and it's able to really transmorph into numerous different genres. And I think that, you know, if we opened ourselves up to it a little bit more and you looked at the dynamics and the principles of these shows, you would say, oh, it's based on relationships and it's based on, you know, cliffhangers and it's based on all of this, what we call soapiness. You know, there's parts of soaps in every piece of television that we watch now.
Unfortunately, we got a minute left, so I got to ask you before we all go, what do you hope people take away from this special?
That I really hope that people give soaps the respect they deserve. And I will be 100% honest in saying that I was not a soap fan when I came into this. And I have completely 180'd. And I think that they really deserve a lot more respect than they're given. And I think that they're much more dimensional than people give them credit for. And I think that if you watch the entire doc and you really understand how far they've traveled and how much they've done and how much they've done for actors and you know, the entire arts community and how much they've done for these networks that have been held up by soaps for generations, you know, they kept primetime on the air for a long time with how much money they were making, that they would be given a lot more credit.
One final thought before we go. It's great to see that YouTube, which has become a great repository of classic television, has a terrific lineup of daytime dramas, including both recent episodes of daytime dramas as well as some of the classics like Dark Shadows, like The Edge of Night, like Valiant Lady, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, including episodes of Secret Storm, Love of Life that are no longer running, but we're long running Search for Tomorrow. And Guiding Light, which was also a groundbreaker in a lot of ways over the course of its run on CBS. The story of soaps. If you've never looked at the genre before, I invite you to try it. I think you might be really surprised at how amazing this genre is and what it continues to do. The story of soaps is coming up this Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on ABC. Check your local news to the ABC station in your area for more details about the program online, abc.com. The story of soaps, next Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Becky Cliffs, the executive producer on the special, it's been a delight having you on the show this half hour. All the very best with the special. I know it's going to be a winner, and I really thank you for coming on before it. It's been a great, great treat.
Thank you so much, Simon. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Becca. Have a terrific weekend.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
And one more thing. We hope that we wish all the current daytime dramas, Young and the Restless, Bold and the Beautiful on CBS, General Hospital on ABC, and Days of Our Lives on NBC get back into production very, very soon. And before we go, I want to end on a wonderful note. And that wonderful note took place last night on the second half of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on ABC. It was Dr. Phil coming on. If you've seen Dr. Phil a couple years ago on Celebrity Family Feud, he and his wife Robin, his family, were absolutely hysterical with Steve Harvey. Well, this what happened last night in this last half hour may go down as one of the great recent moments in game show history. I hope YouTube gets that half hour and ABC lets it run there, because you are in for a really wonderful treat. If you missed it, come on YouTube, put it together with ABC's help, because particularly the last 10 minutes, you will laugh your socks off. Thank you, Dr. Phil. Thank you, Jimmy Kimmel. Thank you, Mike Richards, who was on our show, the executive producer on last week, as well as Michael Davies and Kimmel, who also executive produced that program. If that doesn't bring back Millionaire for another round of episodes next year on ABC, I don't know what will. I want to thank all of our guests for being here today and all week long, and all of you for tuning in. Remember, 3 episodes, 90-minute episodes each next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Coming up on Monday, we will have, from the new PBS series, Fly Brother, host Ernest White II. We'll have the trio of executive producers behind the new Fox series, Labor of Love, and award-winning writer from The Split on Sundance TV, Abby Morgan. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget to check out all of our episodes this May, over this weekend, on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker's podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com, all in podcast form. If you go to iHeartRadio, go to TuneIn.com. Remember to put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click it, and you're in. What do you think about our shows today? What are your thoughts about daytime dramas and their impact on society and TV? Love to hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. However you communicate with us, we appreciate it, and we do respond. Why? Because what you say matters, now more than ever. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants. Now, so is the Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker Tune Radio, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Five, Alan Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For 3 free audiobooks and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful weekend. We're back with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week, all 90-minute episodes, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iRadio Podcast Network. If you're up to you now and then, please make it safe, make it great, and more than ever, we're licking this pandemic. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.